Genesis Christian Life Fellowship, a church committed to loving God, raising fruitful disciples, and advancing the kingdom. Enjoy this week's message.
Hello, everyone. Can everyone hear me? Wonderful. How is everyone this afternoon? I didn't know I had a new title, Pastor Diana. It's very interesting. But today we're going to talk about being a fruitful steward. Amen? Amen. And I want to talk to you about a story. There was a church and they were doing a new building program. So like us, they were somewhere where they were renting and they wanted to get somewhere permanent, like one of those big cinema type buildings. And they knew there was a guy in the area who had a lot of money. So they thought, they don't know him for being generous, but they thought, let's approach him. So the fundraising committee, they made an appointment and they went to his house and they said, we know you have substantial resources, you have lots of money. Would you mind giving to our building program? And the guy said, you've got it all figured out. Did you know I have a widowed mother who has no pension and no means by which to survive, and she can only rely on me to support her? And then the ladies in the fundraising committee said, no, we didn't know. And he said, do you know I have a sister who has a drunken husband who's now left her? She has five children and she has no means to survive. And the lady said, no, we didn't know. And he said, do you also know I have a brother who just had a car accident and is crippled for life, and he has no means by making income ever again in his life? And the lady said, no. So he said, and I don't give them a penny, so what makes you think I'll give you money? So you can see in that situation that he has resource, he has money, but it only benefits him. It doesn't go to anyone in his family, and it doesn't go to the church. So remember, we're talking about being a fruitful steward. Everyone say, be a fruitful steward. Could you say it louder? Be a fruitful steward. Can you say it to your neighbor? Be a fruitful steward. Wonderful. And the point is that we are all stewards, and that God owns everything. In Genesis 1:28, it says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so you can see God is originally the owner of everything. So he created everything and then put man on the earth to manage it, to steward it, to look after it. So sometimes we use the expression, that's my car, or that's my house, or that's my shoes. A lot of ladies would say, that's my shoes. But actually, you don't own it. You're just a steward of it. It's a resource that you have in your hands that actually should be applicable for God to use in any situation. And so we are managers and not owners. We don't own anything. And that's where, when you see in Genesis 1:28, God said, be fruitful and multiply. He's telling us to be fruitful by stewarding the things that he's given us. So it's about looking after what God has given us. And remember, we're talking about so many different things. And I'm going to explain to you the five areas in which God wants us to steward to be fruitful. So when we talk about fruitfulness, we're talking about being productive or producing results. The Bible talks about fruitfulness, and it's this analogy of God being the source and being the center. So if we turn to Luke 16, from verse 10, it says, he is faithful in what he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Therefore, I have not been Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give to you what is your own? And remember, stewardship is talking about you looking after someone else's property. Because we're saying, actually, God owns everything. Everything that we have, everything that we have in our possession is God's. And that's why, like when I said to you, there was once I went to someone's house and we were having like a cell meeting and they had cream carpet and they didn't want anyone to go on their cream carpet or to damage anything. But actually that house is a piece of property that they're stewarding. And although they bought the carpet, they paid for the house, actually God gave them every resource in order for them to do that. So actually it's God's, it's not theirs. They're just looking after it while they're on earth. And so in this scripture, it talks about he who is faithful in least is faithful in much. So God looks at us and sees how we're stewarding things. What are we doing with that which is least? What are we doing with the things that he's placed in our hands that maybe we don't see as big? That maybe it's a responsibility or a duty that has been given to us? And I remember when I first joined Christian Life Fellowship, there were two main duties that God gave me. One was me being part of the sound team. So like Fernando and Andrew at the moment, I was looking after the sound with a team of people in the Greenwich branch. And that was a responsibility that I actually took serious and learnt to take serious as I understood responsibility, as I understood my part to play in the team. And the other responsibility was me looking after the refreshments in our cell meeting. So that was my sole responsibility. So if I was going to be late or if I wasn't going to come, that was a responsibility that I had to make sure was taken care of. And that's how God gives us responsibility. So he gives us those small duties or responsibilities or skills or talents. And he sees what you do with it. He sees if you have a writing ability, how often do you write? And if you know that actually you might be an author in the future, what are you doing with that skill? What are you doing with that ability that God has given you? And it's really interesting because sometimes, again, we think and come from a place of ownership that is kind of up to us, what we do with our time, what we do with our resources, what we do with our skills and our responsibilities. But actually, we're going to have to give an account of it. So God will come to us and ask us, what did you do with what I've given you? And we have to answer line by line exactly what we've given, exactly what we've done, and how we've nurtured that thing. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the parable of the talents. And when the master, he gave talents to each one of the guys. And he said to them, look after it until I get back. And when he got back, you saw that two of the men had multiplied the talents. But one had hidden it because he was scared of his master. And just like that, we're going to meet him. And we're going to have to give an account. And it's just knowing that actually these things or these gifts or these responsibilities that I've given, I've multiplied it. I've put something on top of it because I'm managing it. I'm the steward of it. I'm looking after it until we meet face to face. And that's the point. And it's about being fruitful with it. It's about gaining more for God, being productive and gaining results. In John 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And what's really interesting is that the Bible talks about fruitfulness, but the world in parallel talks about success. But success, as society talks about it, eliminates God. It talks about what you do on a very surface level, what results you produce, how much money you have, how much glamour you have, how many cars you have. But God talks about fruitfulness. And in this scripture, we see that the fruit only comes when you connect to the vine. So our fruitfulness is reliant on God. We don't believe in success in that you're self-made or that you can achieve much and be much all by yourself. But actually, our fruitfulness is only by God. So at the end of it, he's the only one who can get the glory. Because we talk about him in that sense as being the center and being the source. And it's really about, okay, what is God's will for me? And as you connect with him, he shows us and directs us which way to go. Amen? Amen. So the five areas of stewardship. One is in our finances. So remember, we're talking about how to be fruitful stewards. One is by the giving of our finances. We should give because the Bible teaches it. In Luke 6 and 38 it says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you see, it will be measured back to you." And it's so funny because in the Bible, giving releases much more to you. Whereas when we see it naturally, if you give, you've lost. You've missed out on an opportunity to use that money for something else. So giving releases the giving of God. The scripture talks about giving and it comes back to you. And it can come back in different forms. You can give money and it may come back as an idea or a strategy. But every time you give, and you give from a heart of, I want to give, a heart of expectancy and a heart of love, then actually it comes back to you and you gain more. In Matthew 6 from verse 9 it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." So remember, we're talking about giving. And as you give, you release the affections that may be placed on money or possessions. That the thing you give to, as you give freely to God, as you give freely to God's kingdom, you're showing your affection is now on God, because that thing doesn't mean as much to you, and it's easier to give so that people can benefit. So just like in the story at the beginning, he didn't give because he wanted his money to benefit himself, but actually when we give, we want it to benefit others, and God blesses us in return. And it's so funny because even I remember when I started working full-time, and you have your pay slip and it has the breakdown of all the payments. And it was, we would always talk about the payment in the right-hand side, which said tax and national insurance. And you'd see a big sum of money, a few hundreds. And you're like, what could I do with that money? And you would actually think, my gosh, they're taking all this money out of my payslip, and I get that other bit, but there's still that bit that I could have spent on something else. And it's kind of that concept. It's not looking at the loss when you give, not looking at what you could have bought with that money or what you could have done, but actually thinking, do you know what? I'm giving because I want to bless someone, or I'm giving because I want to further that work, or I'm giving because I want to contribute because God has given me the ability to. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, in Leviticus 27, from verse 30, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord." And so, in the concept of giving, we believe in tithes. We believe that 10% is what we give to God. Not that the 10% belongs to God, because everything belongs to God. But the 10% is saying that we appreciate what God has given us, and we give back the 10% to say that, God, we know you own everything that we have. And the tithes, is shown in the Old Testament, where they gave tithes, and specifically, on the other hand, it was to support the work of the Levites who didn't have any land. And nowadays, when we give the tithe, it supports the work of the church and the programs of the church. But we believe in giving the tithe because we believe that God owns everything. Amen? Amen. And there are also other... So there's the tithe and there are offerings. Okay, and at times we'll give offerings. Maybe there's a special program that we have. I know we're going to release like the building fund. But we give to things, sponsorship programs for children in different countries, different missions where people go abroad and speak to people about Jesus. We want our money to be shown to God that we've used it. We've been a steward of that money, and actually it's gone into something and benefited someone else, even though we couldn't physically be there. Now, the second thing that we need to be fruitful stewards over is our time. Everyone say our time. Our time is valuable because it's a limited resource and it's something we can't get back. And isn't it funny, sometimes, like even myself, sometimes I remember being 16 like it was yesterday, or 19 like it was yesterday. And it was a good few years ago. And it's really, it's the onus is on us to really understand as we speak to God and as we commune with Him, what season we're in, both as a church and as individuals. And remember what Pastor Peter said last week. He said, understand what God is doing in your church. So understand the season that we're in. What's about to happen? Don't look at the natural and the here and the now. But look at what God is doing. What's He doing in people's lives? What's He going to do in the next 2 months, 3 months, 2 years, 5 years? It's knowing what your position is to play as God works in our church. And likewise, God is doing something in your life. So it's on you to tap into Him. And ask God, okay, what's going to happen in the next 2 months, 2 years, 5 years? What do I need to prepare for? What do I need to do now? Because there is a time and a season for every activity under heaven. And it's for us to align ourselves to what God is saying to us currently. Amen? And I remember that when I was, before I got married to Andrew, there was a point at which I realized that my time would not be the same once I got married and had children. So I determined to go on mission trips abroad to speak to people about Jesus and to help out with social action work. So I went to Ghana, I went to India, and I was planning my last trip to Sierra Leone, but then I met Andrew and then we got together. So it's understanding that actually this time will not happen again. The time that we're all seated here, this season of our lives, will not happen again. It's understanding that we are here and we need to work with the Holy Spirit to see what He wants to do in us and through us at this time. In Ephesians 5, from verse 15, it says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Okay, the redeeming talks about working urgently and making the most of. And my question when I was meditating on the scripture was, what does redeeming the time because the days are evil mean? And it talks about the days are evil in terms of sickness and death and all these different things that happen to us that can pull us in different directions. So as you have the time, as you have the focus, as you have the strength, not knowing what will happen tomorrow, you work urgently towards the purpose and the calling that God has on you. You work urgently knowing that, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to spend more of my time ministering to the elderly. That's what I need to do. Redeem that time because we don't know what will happen. The days are evil. Different things can come and divert our focus, and we don't know when this season will change. So it's really working urgently and making the most of the time that we have now. In Psalms 90 from verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And when we number our days, again, we think about the shortness of life. We think about, actually, I don't have very long. At times we think we do have a long time because it almost feels like time is forever. But actually, there is a cutoff point. So we number our days and we think what needs to be done now, and we work urgently and consistently and persistently to God, using our gifts, using our talents, using our resources. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about being a fruitful steward of Jesus. Another way in which we can be a fruitful steward of Jesus is with our bodies. In Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And it's understanding that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that our gods should not be taken over by sin. So whether it's sexual sin, or whether it's eating unhealthy or abusing our bodies, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we need to look after it. We need to take care of it, because it's the vessel that God uses to touch lives. And when we don't have our bodies fully, whether it's given over to sin, whether it's given over to eating unhealthy, then actually God can't use us as he would want to. God's power can't flow through us as he would want to. So it's making sure that we keep our bodies as the temple that the Holy Spirit lives in, right for God to use us, and to ensure that we are here for the extension of the life and the time that God has placed us here. And again, remember we talked about stewardship. So it's presenting back to God what he's given to us. So we want to present to God a life and a body that isn't ridden with, say, smoking, for instance, that our lungs aren't infested with smoke, that actually it's something that we can give back to God. And it's a living sacrifice for him on a daily basis. So another way in which we can redeem the time, in which we can be a fruitful steward and a fruitful disciple, is by using our spiritual and our natural gifts. Our gifts are given by God so that we might serve him, the body of Christ, and others fruitfully. We need to be a steward of both our spiritual gifts and our natural gifts, and we need to use them to bring glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it's having that expectation that God will use us supernaturally. I think sometimes we think that things are always the way they've been because they've always been like that. But actually, God can move in different arenas and do different things that will totally blow our minds. I know I was having a conversation with Andrew yesterday, and it just about how God moves, and the fact that when I, just before I got saved, my workplace, in my workplace, there was someone who went to Christian Life Fellowship. Okay, and I worked in Oxford Circus in central London. And then my best friend started going to someone's cell in Christian Life Fellowship. So there were two contacts for Christian Life Fellowship. And it was just the way God had called me and all the numerous people that God has spoken through me to get me into Christian Life Fellowship and be a true disciple of him. And the way God moves is miraculous. And it's not limiting God to what he can do through us. It's not limiting our talents and our giftings to what we can do and what we do naturally. But it's really believing God that he will work in us and through us. But that we need to do our part. Our part is the faith part. So really believing that God will work in us in that area. And that God will move through us in that area. But we do our part. That's faith as well. Faith isn't just believing, I'm believing. Faith is sometimes moving out, and actually, if God doesn't show up, there's nothing that can happen. So if you're a singer, as you take the mic and you feel that actually, I don't know what I'm doing. God help me, strengthen me. Maybe you've got a headache or something. It's having that faith that God is going to move through me regardless of how I feel or regardless how limited my skills or my giftings are. And that's what we need to do. It's that faith
Then God will work through us, and then we become fruitful. Amen? Amen. Amen. So in closing, I just want to read Luke 16:10 again. It says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" And I just want us to, in thinking about being a fruitful steward, think about all the things God has given us. Our talents, our gifts, our possessions, our finances. And think about how faithful we're being in those things and how we're stewarding those resources. And I want us just to come before God. And if you're asking God to help you to become more of a faithful steward, and it's remembering, like I said, there's a time and a season for every activity under heaven. So sometimes some gifts or some skills or some responsibilities will play more of a dominance in certain seasons. And in other seasons, they may lie quietly. But it's knowing and working with the Holy Spirit on what you feel you need to do now in this season. Yeah? So I want you to come to the front if you're asking God to help you to become more of a faithful steward. If you're asking God to help you with your time, with your resources, with your possessions, with your finances, to serve Him faithfully and to be fruitful. Amen. And congregation, if we can just pray. For those who aren't coming to the front, if we can just pray for these ones. If we have some music we can place, that would be great.
Remember to subscribe to our weekly podcast and also visit us at www.genesisclf.org.